Phillips, Pastor Brandon, coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another Pastor Brandon live broadcast. And it's good to be here today. And God's people believe in giants, dragons, unicorns, and talking donkeys. And I don't mean Democrats. That's up. There you go. It's good to be here today. Just took the day to rest, which is good. Please keep me in prayer. Got a lot of stuff going on in my life, so keep me in prayer. Please keep my family in prayer. Keep all of us in prayer. Keep this broadcast in your prayers. Keep this ministry in your prayers. And just want to do what God wants me to do and just be faithful to what He has put in my trust. Amen. And I think God's people need to obey and comply with what God wants them to do. Amen. Now, on today's broadcast, I'm going to be talking the message of this broadcast. I guess if I had to put a message on it, it would be called The Unredeemables. And we're going to be talking about that today. And the question I have for you is it possible to be an unredeemable? In other words, is it possible for a person to not inherit the kingdom of God? Is it possible that a person can never receive salvation? And I think that answer has actually a lot of different aspects to it. I think the question of that is, the answer to that question has a lot of aspects to that. But we have to also understand is, as some people might say and might try to challenge me that, you know, that's that. How can that be true? How can certain people be unredeemable and some people can? Because it says in God's word that, you know, it's not God's will for any to perish. And that's right, and that's true. It's not God's will for any to perish. But God gives us a free will. And can it be that because of our free will and because of the choices that we make, can we put ourselves in an unredeemable category by our choices? Just a question to pose for everybody. Just, is it possible to be unredeemable by the choices that we make? So, the title of this message is entitled The Unredeemables. And apparently my printer has gone crazy and berserk because it needs more printer food. It needs more printer food. That's a... that's a joke. It needs more ink. So, just kind of for the first page of notes, I'm going to kind of, for the first kind of little page of notes, I'm going to have to kind of read from my phone because it needs more ink. So, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11. Hebrews 13:11. And we're just going to sort of read that in context, because we got to read everything in context. We don't want to take anything out of context. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Not 13, sorry. Did I say 13? I think I did. That's not what I meant. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11. Hebrews 3, 11. Now, it says, we'll start in verse 10 here. It says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said they do not always err in their hearts. And they have not... See, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. And wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said they do always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. So I swear my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. Okay? So, is it possible that there are people in the Bible? So, is it possible that there are people in our days and even in the historical account of the Word of God that couldn't be redeemed based off maybe choices they made or just because of corrupt DNA? The answer, I think, in my opinion, is yes. There are people, there are a particular group of people that can't be redeemed. There's actually a couple different types that can't be redeemed because of choices and stuff. Amen? And I think that corrupt DNA, having corrupt DNA, and blaspheming against the Holy Ghost kind of go hand in hand a little bit. Okay, so I think that blaspheming against the Holy Ghost and corrupt DNA can go hand in hand. But we're going to go through and explore the answer to this question. But first, we need to understand, here's what we need to establish. We need to understand that it's not God's will for any to perish. Amen? And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, and the everlasting Father, prepared for the devil and his angels." We see the everlasting fire is hell. And hell was created specifically for the devil and his angels. That was it. But because of the choices that man has made, many have chosen to end up in hell because of their choices. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? Now, Ezekiel 33:11, "Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his wicked way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Okay? So, we see that it's not God's will for any to perish, that hell was created for the devil and his angels, but we also see that God does not take pleasure, He doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't. Because He wants all men everywhere to come into repentance. Amen? So, the question I have is, if hell was only created for the devil and his angels, and if God doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked, how can someone be unredeemable? I believe there are two ways a person is unredeemable. Number one, if anyone dies in the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, or if someone has different abnormal DNA. And what I mean by abnormal, I'm talking about DNA that's been corrupted. DNA that is something that it basically is corrupted, is what I'm talking about. Okay? In Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 to 32, it says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Okay? Which means that they won't be forgiven. Okay? Now, in Psalm 139:16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. In other words, that DNA is a book that God wrote. And our DNA is what God wrote. He doesn't want anyone to add or subtract from it. Okay? In Revelation 22:18, it says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Okay? Now, DNA is God's book. And he says we are not to add or take away from this book. Therefore, we are not to add or take away from our DNA. Okay, so what I'm going to look at first is the blaspheming against the Holy Ghost and how that can make people unredeemable. Now, here's the thing. I do want to say this. Jesus Christ said that he died for the sins of the whole world. Okay? Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Now, probably that word unredeemable is probably not a good word to use. But what I mean by unredeemable is really forgiveness and repenting, forgiveness and cleansing and, being able to be cleansed from our sin, I guess. Make sense? So, I don't know. Maybe unredeemable is probably not a good word to use. If I'm wrong, then I pray and hope the Lord will chastise me for that and correct me on that. But with the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, let's take a look at Satan first. Okay? Now also, I should also point out too, as per being unredeemed, Jesus Christ died for mankind. He didn't die because mankind has a sin nature. The angels don't really have a sin nature. They can sin and fall, but if they sin and fall, they won't come back because God will kick them out of heaven. But the angels do not have a sin nature. Okay? So that means that if angels don't have a sin nature, that means they really can't be redeemed. They don't know what it's like to be redeemed. Mankind is to be redeemed. Amen? Now, and if they can't be redeemed, then that means that they can't really be unredeemable. But what I want to talk about is unredeemable in the sense of forgiveness. Now, Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 14 through 17. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Now, Lucifer was a cherub that sinned. Okay? He sinned. And guess what happened? God said, you're out of here. God's casting him out. He's going to cast him out. Okay? And God's not just going to cast him out. He's going to destroy him. No forgiveness for Lucifer. No forgiveness. And because there's no forgiveness, and as per that, he can't, there's no redemption in that. He can't go and repent anymore. He's done. God's done with him. But God's going to allow him to do things and have his little way for a short time, and then God's going to destroy him. He's going to destroy Lucifer. Amen? Now, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You see, Satan wants to be like God, but he won't, because he's not God. Okay? Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So, God's going to cast Satan out as a profane thing. And God's going to deal with Satan one of these days. Satan is unredeemable, i.e., he can't repent anymore. Okay? Lucifer cannot repent. That's it. He had his chance, he blew it. Because he had pride in his heart, and he wanted to be like God, and rebelled. And the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And therefore, because Lucifer rebelled, Satan is unredeemable, i.e., he can't be forgiven. That's it. No forgiveness for Lucifer. Lucifer rebelled, he made his choice. Amen. Now, I'm going to kind of switch over here. And we're going to talk about Saul, the first king of Israel. And talk about how he can't be redeemed. Okay. Now, let's take a look at Saul, first king of Israel. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 through 16. First Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 through 16, and this is what it says. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, a sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. Saul disobeyed the Lord. He didn't just disobey, he rebelled and rejected the word of the Lord. Okay? And, actually, hang on a second. I just want to see something here. I want to see. Now, Okay, redemption is the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. That's redemption. Okay? Now, I guess maybe unredeemable may not be a bad word, but maybe not be the best word. And here's why I say that Saul was unredeemable. Okay? Because he rejected the word of the Lord. He rebelled against God. He was wicked, as the rest of us are. He was evil. He rejected God. Said, nope. He just did what he wanted and said, I obeyed. No, he did not. And going down to verse 18 to 22, it says, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And you have gone the way which the Lord has sent me, and brought me to Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, the sheep, and the oxen, the chief of the things which have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So as we see, Saul disobeyed God. He rebelled against God, as well as rejected God and his word. And because he refused to comply with what God wanted him to do, and because he refused to repent, Saul became unredeemable. Why? He became unredeemable because he chose to reject the word of the Lord. You know who the word of the Lord is? That's Jesus Christ. Saul rejected Jesus Christ. Amen? Because God said he was done with him. And by the way, you know that Saul was there was no redemption for Saul. You know why? Because God said, I'm done talking to you. I'm done with you. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. God said, I'm done talking to him. By that point, Saul was done. Saul is unredeemable. You know why? Because Saul went straight to hell. Why? Because of the choices that he made. Let me say something here. Okay? The choices that we make. Okay? The choices that we make. The choices that unbelievers make could send themselves to hell. God doesn't send people to hell. We send ourselves there by our choice. Amen? Now, 1 Samuel chapter 28 1 Samuel chapter 31 verses 4 through 6. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me therewith. lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. And Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day together. In 1 Chronicles 10:13, it says, So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had familiar spirits to inquire of it. You see, Saul was not complying to what God wanted him to do. And because of his, and because he didn't comply, he deliberately rejected God. And because he rejected God and rejected his word, he then became unredeemable because of his actions. Not that God couldn't redeem him, it's because Saul didn't want to be redeemed. You see, when people become unredeemable, it's not that God can't redeem them. It's because they don't want to be redeemed. Amen? Now, next thing we're going to be looking at is the mark of the beast. By taking the mark of the beast, you are in rebellion against God and have rejected his word. And because of that, you will be unredeemable. Because once a person takes that mark, and he takes the mark of the beast, you then become unredeemable, because that's it. You take that mark, you're gonna suffer for all eternity in hell. There's no heaven for you if you take... There's no heaven for you if you take the mark of the beast. Now, this is going to be kind of like the last part of it, as per kind of the blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. Okay? So, the last thing I want to look at is per blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is the mark of the beast. The Bible says that if you take the mark, you can't be redeemed because you will be in hell. No forgiveness, no redemption for those who take it. That's it. Now, also, you got to remember that Jesus did die for the sins of the whole world. Okay? So, people who choose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ is rejecting his sacrifice. And by rejecting his sacrifice, they're basically saying, I don't want to be redeemed. Which makes them unredeemable. Does that make sense with everybody? Now, in Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 17, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Revelation 19:20. It says, and the beast was taken with him, the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceiveth them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. By taking the mark of the beast, you are rebelling against God. You're saying, I don't want you. I don't want Jesus Christ. I don't want the cross. I don't want to be redeemed. And by doing that, you're rejecting his word. You're rejecting what he wants to do for you in his lot. what He wants to do for your life. And by saying that, you don't want to be redeemed, and therefore making you unredeemable. People make themselves unredeemable by their actions. Amen? Now, we're going to take a look at corrupted DNA. And we'll be taking a look at the giants. Okay? Now, last thing I want to take a look at as being unredeemable is to have corrupt DNA. And I think the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost and corruption of DNA kind of go hand in hand. Okay? The Bible says that we are to be born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. Okay, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Okay, now, I want to talk about the giants. Okay, I'm going to talk about the giants. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, it says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. Now the giants were unredeemable because of their DNA. The giants can't be saved and won't be saved because their DNA is corrupted. And here's the thing, the reason why they're corrupted is because the giants were hybrids. Okay. The giants had DNA from fallen angels as well as human DNA. Okay, and they don't mix. Okay, now I know that many people will probably argue that the sons of God can't be angels because angels don't marry. Again, they're right. Angels don't marry. Because the Bible talks about how we will be just as the angels in heaven. We won't marry in heaven. However, we need to take into account that fallen angels are fallen. And therefore, what makes you think that they're going to comply by God's rules if they're fallen? If those angels are fallen, they're going to do whatever they want. Because they're fallen. They've sinned. They fall. They fail. That is why they're called fallen angels. Fallen angels. Here's something profound for you to think about. Fallen angels are fallen. Means they left their first estate and God kicked them out. Said, you can't come back anymore. Fallen angels are fallen. Okay? Sons of God, in that context, is talking about angels. Now, let me just kind of prove to you and show you as to why the sons of God are angels. Okay? In Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. You realize, you take a look at what Satan just said. Satan said, from going to and fro in the earth. How could they be in the earth if Satan said going to and fro in the earth? That means that this here is talking and showing and picturing you that this was in heaven. This was not on earth. This was in heaven. Okay, now, Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord. And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth. Same response. And from walking up and down in it. This had to be in heaven, not on earth. Some people like to make you think it's on Earth. Or somewhere on Earth. But it's not. This isn't heaven. It's taking place in heaven. Job chapter 38, verse 7. It says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Okay? Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It says, for if God spared not the angels that have sinned. You know what's really funny? That's not really funny. But let me ask you a question. Can angels sin? God just told you they could. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. There were angels that sinned. That is why they're called fallen angels. But cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Jude chapter 1 verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the day of judgment of that great day. Hang on a second. There's another verse that just sort of came to mind. It talks about how God charged them with folly. Let me just type in folly. Hang on a second. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I can't see it. All right, well, we'll come back to that and we'll go from there. So, as we see that there were angels that sinned and they left their first estate to go and sin, and therefore these angels are unredeemable. In other words, they can't be forgiven of their sin. Once those angels sinned, God kicked them out and said, you can't come back anymore. Can't. Amen? In other words, like I said, they're unredeemable because they can't be forgiven. Because they sinned. They fell short. That's why they're called fallen angels. So as we see that while it isn't God's will for any to perish, that yes, there are going to be instances where people put themselves in an unredeemable category. Such as the giants. The giants can't be redeemed because of their DNA. Now, that really wasn't a choice. They were born with that. I mean, they had messed up DNA, but they... I mean, if you take a look at all these giants were just blasphemers. So these giants can't inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, because their DNA was messed up. So the giants are classified as unredeemable. And to prove it, why do you think God sent the flood? To wipe out all the giants. Well, apparently, to wipe out the giants in those days, but to get rid of all the sin and evil and wickedness. Well, not to get rid of it, but to, you know, because God sent the flood because the giants and because there was evil and wickedness in those days. But even after the flood, there were giants. And by the way, David killed a giant, didn't he? Okay? Giants are unredeemable. People who blaspheme against the Holy Ghost and die in that sin are unredeemable. Why? Because they've chosen to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They've chosen to reject His Word. They've chosen to reject God. And by their actions, they said, I don't want to be redeemed. I don't want the Bible. I don't want any of that. And you got to remember, because when people are unredeemable, it doesn't mean that God can't redeem them. What it means is, they don't want to be redeemed. Amen? They don't want to be redeemed. And to be redeemed is to be forgiven of your sin, to be cleansed and washed, to be born again, Holy Ghost, God-fearing, and Spirit-filled. Amen? So, with that said, we're going to go ahead and close with kind of a invitation, as you will. Now, hang on a second. I just got to pull some verses out here real quick. But listen, if for those of you who aren't saved, okay, today is the day of salvation. Okay? Today is the day of salvation. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "For he saith, I've heard thee in a time, and accepted, and then and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Okay? Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Amen? Tomorrow might be too late. And, listen. Hang on a second. Okay, well, anyways. Listen. If you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is, you'll be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Listen, to those who don't believe, like I said, today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. Are you going to choose to repent of your sin and comply with what God wants you and be born again? Or are you just going to rebel against God for all your life and end up taking a mark in your right hand or your forehead and say, "God, I don't want to be redeemed," and put yourself in an unredeemable category? You have a choice today, unbelievers. Listen, I love you, but I have to preach the whole truth. Either you choose to be redeemed or you choose to be unredeemable. And what I mean by unredeemable means you make the choice to not be redeemed. It's not that God can't redeem you. It's that you don't want to be redeemed. Amen? So which way are you going to go? Are you going to go on the path of redemption, or are you just going to just choose not to be redeemed? Those are the only two choices you got. There's no in between. Okay? Believer, listen, I love you, God. I love you. I love you. I want to have a heart for my brothers and sisters. I love God's people, and I don't want to, you know, I love God's people, and, you know, I want to get along with everybody. Okay? But believer, if you have fallen short, okay, if you have fallen short and you've sinned, you can always go back and have that fellowship restored. Okay? But I want to encourage you, believers. Bible says that when you're born again, you are sealed by that Holy Ghost. Amen? You are sealed to the day of redemption. And God will keep that which he hath committed to that day. Amen? Listen. You guys, I love you, and I care for you guys. I know this was kind of a short message. I don't know if unredeemable or the unredeemables would be an appropriate title of it. And I'm really, and you gotta understand too, to be an unredeemable really means that you made the choice to not be redeemed. You made the choice to not repent and be redeemed, and not be and
See, an unredeemable is a person who rejects the Lord, who doesn't want salvation. Their conscience is so seared, they've been handed over to a reprobate mind. And by the way, at that point, they can't really turn back. I mean, you take a look at... Okay. Here's an example of someone that doesn't want to be redeemed. Take a look at Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and all those other clowns, all these other heretic clowns and actors that think they're all holy and they think they're better than everybody. You take a look at those preachers. You can't just take a Bible to them and say, repent. You know why? Because they are unredeemable. You know why they're unredeemable? Because they deliberately say, we don't want God. By their actions, they don't want God. Even they profess Him with their mouth, their heart is far from Him. They don't want God. They reject God. And therefore, if you try to teach them salvation, you can't. You know why? Because the Bible calls them natural brute beasts. You know what? Really quickly, I know I said I was going to close, but I just want to make this point here. Natural brute. I'm going to type in natural brute. Okay, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, but these are as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. But in Jude chapter 1, verse 10, it says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. There's two witnesses. It's really interesting. And there's only two occurrences of that, according to what I have on my phone. These natural brute beasts are not. They're unredeemable. You know why? Because they choose to not be redeemed. They can't. They choose to reject. Remember, to be an unredeemable is to reject the Lord, to reject His word, to say, no, I don't want you. I don't want to be redeemed. I want to live how I want to live. And that's that. To be an unredeemable is to be guilty of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. They kind of go hand in hand. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But remember that you can't serve two masters. You're going to either love the Lord or you're going to love Satan. There are two fathers. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. So you got Jesus Christ or you got Satan. Satan is the father of lies. Who will you choose today? And here's the thing. And here's the thing. God wants all men everywhere to repent. But if you choose to deliberately reject God, you put yourself in the unredeemable category. You put yourself in a natural brute beast state. Just like Kenneth Copeland and all these other heretic clowns, like Creflo Dollar, Jesse Duplantis, and all these other clowns that they think are holy and godly, and they're not. They're natural brute beasts. Anyways, it's good to be here today. I don't know. I wanted to share that. I don't know if it's something that maybe... And here's the thing. I just pray and hope that you guys can take this, and this would be a blessing to you. I love you guys. I just want you guys to know the truth. I love you guys because I tell you the truth, but here's the thing. Don't take my word for things. If I'm wrong, then let God chasten me for it. But if I'm right, I pray that God will show you what I mean. Okay? And you be Bereans. You take what I say and you match it with the word of God. Amen? Listen, I love you guys. God bless you. Hey, I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Tomorrow on our broadcast, the Pastor Brandon Live broadcast, we might be getting into some of the names of God. The names of Jesus Christ. And we're just going to just take some time to go through some names and just go through some scripture. Amen? And actually, I don't really have notes for it, but I actually have a book that I have that I use for Faith Bible Institute, and a lot of the information is going to probably stem from the material that I have from that class. So, tomorrow, I want you guys to stay tuned because we're going to be getting into the names of God. We're just going to be taking a look to see all the names that He has. And we're just going to sort of take a look through several different broadcasts about the names of God. Amen? So, I want you guys to stay tuned for that. But till then, this is Pastor Brandon. I'm signing off for the evening. I love you guys. God bless you. I hope you have a great weekend. And we'll see you tomorrow. Amen? I love you. We'll see you. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye.